Welcome to yet another edition of On The Record.
Indeed.
Which is the fabulous new podcast,
certainly
which, by the way, has now passed 5.5 million listens.
It's heading up towards six.
It is heading up towards six, and it will be there very, very soon. So thank you to everybody who downloads it every week. We do two a week.
Six,
one on Tuesday.
Six. Is that the number of the devil?
That's the number of the beast.
Oh, the beast. Right, yeah. Okay.
Why would you want to say that?
Well,
I don't think you should invoke. You don't want to invoke Beelzebub.
No, we don't want to. No.
You know, we don't want any devils walking around here. Right. Now, we are, of course, the two Mikes. You're Mike Parry.
I am.
I'm Mike Graham.
Yep.
And you do something called Porky Vision. Which is
what do you mean we
your...
do something called Porky Vision?
No,
it's a legendary programme we do.
You do something called Porky Vision? Yeah, well, I'm introducing it in case there are people listening for the first time.
Well, I think we both do it because your responses to my observations are as valuable...
That's true.
...as the content itself.
Very true.
Because, of course, you see, you come in from another angle.
I do. Mm. And I've got actually something to tell you about TV, but I'll let you do your TV bits first. Yeah, this is where Porky basically reviews... the television shows that he's been watching.
Indeed.
Sometimes with hilarious results.
Not hilarious at all. We're serious broadcasters.
We are.
Now, the first show I'm going to tell you about is called Mother, Father, Son.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is one of those programmes where a top Hollywood box office actor has suddenly decided to go into TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, is this part of the story?
No. What I'm saying is, this is not even Netflix or Amazon or anything like that. It's actually, I think it's a BBC show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called, or it might be ITV, it's one of the two. And it's called Mother, Father, Son. Mm. Richard Gere is the father.
He must be getting on a bit.
He is getting on a bit, and all his hair's white. Helen McCrory is the mother.
Who's Helen McCrory?
She's the one who was in Peaky Blinders. She's the Peaky Blinders mole.
She's the one that stabs the priest.
Yeah, yeah. Aunt, what's his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Her name is Aunt something, you know, she's great. And she's been loads.
She's good, yeah, I like her.
Loads of other things. And the son, I don't know what his name is, but he's a, you know, he's a moron. Now, the plot is this,
a moron?
Right? He's a moron,
is
yeah. The character he plays is a moron.
Okay.
The plot is that Gere is another international media mogul. Mm. And funny enough, there was a very similar programme made in America only about 2 or 3 months ago when that Scottish actor...
Yeah, I remember you told us
Gal
about this.
Uno,
yeah.
And called Inheritance or something.
Something like that. Mm. And you said it was all a bit similar to the kind of Murdoch family scenario.
Well, this one's even more similar because what happens is Gere flies over from the States looking at all his papers on his private plane and all that, you know. He lands at a private airport... And a 4x4 Bentley that we spotted around didn't we, just a few weeks ago?
We did.
Is the car of choice for him to get around. He goes straight to Downing Street. There's an election coming.
Okay.
And he schmoozes the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom.
Is the Prime Minister a woman or a man?
A man and a black man.
Oh, really?
Yes. So they've made it very sort of cosmopolitan, you know. And the Prime Minister is schmoozing with this great media baron. He then goes to his newspaper, which... Believe it or not, it's called the National Reporter, which I think is a really bum name because I've never,
a terrible name, isn't
never
it?
Seen a newspaper called Reporter.
That's a very American type brain. It's a Hollywood Reporter.
The Hollywood Reporter, and some in some tiny little places in this country, you know, the sort of the Wexford Recorder or something like that, you know. Right. But you don't normally get it in this country.
There's some weird names for newspapers, aren't there? Do you
remember? Oh yeah.
There was the Times Picayune, which I think was down in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
The New Orleans Times Picayune.
Picayune. Well, even in this country, the strange ones. I worked for the Birmingham Evening Mail in Redditch, where the local weekly paper, where the peasants worked, we were seen as the elite on the Birmingham Evening Mail, earned three times what they did. So it was always good to be able to buy the young ladies on the Rich Indicator lots of drinks in the local pub because they couldn't afford them.
That's the only thing that you think about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
To impress the women.
But their paper was called the Redditch Indicator.
Indicator?
Yeah, the Indicator,
There's a Jamaican one, the Daily Gleaner.
Daily Gleaner, yeah.
And I think there's a Gleaner somewhere here.
Yeah, I think there might be. And also, there's an English-speaking newspaper in Mallorca, and the guy who's the editor there has been there about 18 years.
Right.
Must have the most idyllic life.
It must be nice.
Yeah, he just produces this paper once a week. Right. More like a bulletin, you know what I mean?
Right, puts
a
few English foreigners.
Well, not just for the visiting foreigners, but there's a big expat community in Mallorca. Anyway, so Richard Gere plays this very laid-back, you know, billionaire in America, and none of it makes sense anymore because they simply don't have the aura of the Lord Beaverbrook era these days, you know what I mean? Lord Beaverbrook, of course, was a man who could summon prime ministers to his own home and sold 4 million copies a day and had been the war minister under Churchill, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, his son...
And how is the son involved then, and how is he a moron?
The son runs the father's English operation, including the National Reporter. Right. Okay?
Okay.
And you look at this guy and you think immediately there's nothing behind his eyes. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
So, quite early on in the show, sorry, in the first episode, quite early on, because there's been two episodes now, obviously.
Right.
Quite early on in the first episode, so I'll give you a resume.
Yes.
The father doesn't take him to Downing Street. Mm. He takes a woman we assume to be his mistress, his PA. You know what I mean?
Is she an attractive younger
woman? Very attractive, attractive. Yeah. Probably about half the age of Richard Gere.
Yeah.
And Richard Gere plays it all so very laid back. Moans in Downing Street that, you know, what's this, shortbread? I don't like shortbread. Mm. I like what you gave me last time. What's that, those biscuits with the currants in them, you know?
Garibaldi's.
Yeah, not even that. You know, it's like shortbread, but they're round and not square, whatever they are. Anyway, all that kind of nonsense. Mm. But anyway, then we get back to the boy who clearly lost. Mm. You know, I mean, it's always hard to live up to the expectations of your father's gigantic achievements.
Well, I mean, you look at most of the people who have had to do it.
Yeah.
And you see, kind of, you don't see much happiness in their eyes.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
The Maxwell sons.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they had a terrible time.
Yeah. I remember Maxwell boomed out once, you know, in some meeting.
Right.
You know, "You're fucking hopeless. You're fucking absolutely hopeless," to his two sons, thumping the table, you know.
Yeah.
And then got up and said, "I don't know where the fuck you'd be if it wasn't for me," and walked out the door. Right. And then both the sons said in unison, "In the south of France driving off Ferraris, Dad, fuck off," you know. That kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You have to say, actually, as the as we talked about Mr. Murdoch, they've actually managed to create a family dynasty that works because, of course, they've been very successful within the same media industry.
Although, having sold most of it off, they're just very wealthy people.
Well, good luck to them. I like wealthy people, as you know. Anyway, the point is that this kid immediately from the start has this inferiority complex with his father.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't know what he's doing in life. We've already discovered he's a cocaine addict.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, in this incredible apartment, you know, Bankside River apartment, you know, it's a triplex, you know, on about five floors or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, huge glass staircases and all this kind of stuff.
Be a pentaplex?
A pentaplex or something like that. We've already seen him every morning before he comes to work.
Or a couple of lines before he goes to work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. No, seriously, yeah.
So what's he meant to be, about 25, this guy? Well,
no, 35.
Okay.
Yeah, about 35, something like that, you know. And the other great line is that, you know, he's trying to modernise everything.
Mm.
And their senior political correspondent, the woman who knows everything on the inside, who is Sinead or somebody, is it? You know,
Sinead.
The blonde hair. She's an Irish actress, very famous, done lots of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Once went out with George Best, I think. She's
really?
That old now, yeah. Something like Sinead or something.
I think I know who you mean.
Yeah. So she's walking because he's put pressure on her to try and change the way she writes or something like that. She says no. She clears her desk, she's walking out. And the 35-year-old, you know, son of a billionaire, you know, stops at the door and says, "You once care about this paper." You know, like obviously everybody in Fleet Street does. You know, I don't give a fuck about your paper. Where's the money? You know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then she leaves. But now there's a mad plot going on amongst other journalists who, she should be the figurehead now of a...
It's not Siobhan Sinnott or something.
Yeah,
like
it is. Sinead Cusack.
Oh, Sinead Cusack.
Sinead Cusack, that's
she
it,
must
yeah.
be fucking ancient now.
Yeah,
as
she
well.
Is. Oh, you see it in her face. Yeah. She's very old. Mm. Leathery face, I would say. If you, you know what I mean? You know. Not the.
Charming.
I'm not insulting her or anything.
No, of course not.
Her face has the sole of a leather boot.
No, it's one of the things that women like to be told when you meet them later in life.
That's right.
Say, "I love your leathery face."
Yes, that's
they
right.
Really
yeah.
enjoy that.
Yeah. Anyway, so so she's left, and now the other lefties on the paper have decided to make her the figurehead of a, like, a reporter revolt buyout of power at the paper. You know, it's all nonsense. They're going to use their investigative journalist skills to turn over their own boss, you know, as being...
It's
a,
funny, isn't it? Because you must have, at some point, somebody in the writing game must have worked out that newspapers are a great idea to do a show around. Because you remember the one called Press that they did?
I did,
where they had the bloke who was meant to be the tabloid editor and then the woman who was meant to be the sort of broadsheet editor.
That's right, yeah.
And it was fucking rubbish.
It was utter rubbish,
really was awful.
It was utter rubbish, I agree. And so anyway, after about 15 minutes...
Yeah.
And, you know, the
really
big...
shagging in the show.
Well, I'm just about to tell you. So the big boss arrives and he walks around the paper and he says this, you know, he says, OK, folks, because obviously Richard Gere's got an American accent, you know. OK, people, just pretend I'm not here, okay? And we all know what it's like. As soon as the big boss walks into any newsroom, the intimidation factor is sky high.
Yes, of course it is.
That half-baker used to run TalkSport many years ago before they were bought out by proper people.
Yeah.
He would actually come into the studio and he'd tiptoe in, you know, and close the door quietly. Mm. And then he'd sit next to you, you know, at the desk.
Or if you were doing a show.
As you were doing a live show. And he would then put a pair of headphones on. And he was so clueless, he didn't realise that you can hear everything without the headphones on because there's speakers.
Yeah, yeah.
He also could have gone into the control room and listened to it in there.
Yes.
But no, he decided, you know.
Or he could have just sat in his car and put the radio on.
Of course he could, yeah, absolutely. No, he decided. But he was so thick that he rang me up very excited once, right, when he'd been out for lunch with Rodri.
Oh,
Tidy.
Yeah,
Tidy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello, boyo.
Right.
Oh, Rodri Williams, I think it is it not?
That's his name.
Works over in Qatar now. Very nice lad.
Yes, he is.
Big friend of the man I'm talking about.
Yes.
And Mackenzie, sorry, did I say that? No. The person I'm talking about, who used to get intoxicated on like 1.5 glasses of wine, rings me up in this fantastically excited state and says, right, this is what we're going to do. Yeah, what's that? London Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, London Marathon. Okay, yeah. Okay, Rodri, who's run 3 marathons before, is going to run for us with a TalkSport vest on.
Yeah.
And he will be carrying a pack.
Right.
A pack on his back. You know, we'll bury it in a rucksack. We'll hide it away. It'll look like his food and drink.
Right.
And he's going to have a microphone secreted in the top of his vest.
Mm.
And he's going to be able to give us a running report all the way through the marathon. We haven't spent a penny on rights. The BBC have. We're going to fuck the BBC by having somebody in the marathon. Yeah, who's going to be?
Exactly the same as filming it from a balloon.
Yes,
and also having cameras at every point.
Yes. Who'll be reporting into us the whole way along the route?
Yeah.
Now, even I knew in those days that the marathon goes between big buildings and all this in Canary Wharf, and I said, "What about the signal?"
Yeah.
What? I said, the signal. I said, if you've got somebody carrying a pack, as you call it, you need a sat link.
Right.
He'd have to wear that on his head.
Right.
What do you mean? I said, because the signal changes direction every time he goes round a corner.
Right.
So you need an unfolding sat link. You can have somebody running behind him with this. He said, why are you so fucking negative? I said, I'm not negative. I said, we've already got 12 people in the race who will be reporting in on their mobile phones.
Yeah.
Have we? Yes. Oh, right, okay. So I said, well, ask Rodri to take a mobile phone. Right, okay. I mean, he completely clueless, you know. Yeah. So anyway, there you go.
So he never ran with the pack.
Of course he didn't run with the pack. What was going to be in the pack? The pack, what is it? You know, he didn't know.
Like a jetpack.
Yeah, the jetpack, yeah. Mm. Anyway, so to get back to the boy wonder inside this show, which is called Mother, Father, Son, the son then goes, oh, yeah, that's right. So the father says, I hear you bought a new apartment.
Right.
You know, they're back in the 4x4 Rover, you know. He bought an old apartment. Yes, father, I have. Yeah, okay. We'll drop you there. So then they drop you there. Are you going to show me in? And the boy says, you want to see it? Yeah, okay. So they go up. Now, apparently, the father said in the past he hates glass and silver triplexes with 7 floors.
Right.
And that he likes more traditional housing, you know, like Victorian maisonette.
Yes.
You know, and all
like
that.
A townhouse.
And townhouse, all that kind of stuff. So, of course, they get in there, and this is the first confrontation, you know. He says, you did this just to fuck me, didn't you? You know. No, father. I like this. You know, I like it. I'm 35 or younger, something like that. Okay.
He's not married, this guy, I take it.
Well, this is the point.
The
so the elderly father leaves, and then a woman turns up, who is a high-class hooker.
Right.
So then the most graphic sex scene ever on television takes place.
Really?
Yes.
There's been a lot of that.
Right. The language is worse than you've ever heard it.
Really?
Shocking language.
What, from her or him?
Both.
Oh, dear.
Because he makes her repeat phrases that he spills out.
Oh, yeah.
And she has to repeat them to get him turned on.
Right.
And it includes words describing the female anatomy, right? I'm not joking. Very graphic.
Okay.
She's got to do the kind of, you know, almost like yes, daddy type stuff.
The
you know
C
what I mean?
Word, is it?
It is, I'm afraid.
Really?
I'm afraid it is, and it shocked
Jesus
me terribly.
Jesus Christ, this is on ITV.
Well, it's either ITV or BBC. I'm not sure which one
Ofcom.
It is. Well, I don't know.
This is what I don't understand.
I don't know.
It's, you know, just, about the rules on television production.
Perhaps you could check which channel it's on, and, because...
And the difference between television and radio.
It's called Mother, Father, Son. I don't want to be libelling ITV or BBC, do I? And
certainly wouldn't want to make any any mistakes.
And then...
British television series.
Yeah, yeah. He makes her take off her clothes, right, one by one, and then they get down to what I can only describe
Sarah
as...
Sarah Lancashire's, isn't it?
Sarah Lancashire's... no, she's not. No, she's not.
She's in the cast.
Sarah Lancashire... No, I don't think she is.
Well, maybe she hasn't appeared yet.
No, Sarah Lancashire is in something called The Cheat, which is...
Oh, she's in the cast.
Oh, she's in the cast. She is. I've just remembered she is. She is. Yeah, she is. Yeah. She plays a woman with a big blonde bob hair. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Which channel is it on?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Well, anyway, look. Then the most graphic sex scene ever... And it's quite a strange one, although...
BBC,
there you go, so I told
BBC
you.
BBC Two.
BBC Two, that's right, yeah. So it's not ITV, apologies to ITV, it's on BBC Two.
Well,
okay.
Thank God we got that one right.
Yeah, we got that one right, yeah. Now, what happens then is they have this very graphic sex scene,
right.
But I can't quite work out the physiology of it, because he's lying on the bed on his back.
Are you sure you want to get into this?
Well, not really, but I just want to explain.
There's been some people saying you've been a bit obsessed with sex.
No, no, I'm not at all.
Particularly the positioning.
No. So he's lying on his back on the bed.
Right.
She's lying on her back on top of him.
On her back.
On her back.
Yeah.
But she is bouncing up and down very enthusiastically.
Okay.
Well, some activity is taking place between his anatomy and a part of hers.
Well, it's called having sex.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure how angle-wise it can be done.
Really?
You know what I mean? Right. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe you've got a sheltered life.
But anyway, she then goes,
right?
She then goes, and he hates himself again, so he has a few more lines. Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's
seriously.
That's almost the best cure for
now,
that.
Now, this building is so expensive that the cars downstairs are garaged in glass front garage spaces.
Very nice.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you go down. It's like a showroom.
Yeah.
And you go down, you click your clicker, and your glass doors open, and they're all next to each other. You know what I mean?
So they're all in their own little compartments.
All in their own glass compartments, honestly. Amazing. Right. So he gets into his...
So what's his car then?
Well, it's so expensive, I couldn't recognise. A Maserati or something like that, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's got big, you know, wings.
See that Bugatti that they released the other day?
Is that four?
Eight million, I
think.
Eight million, something
like that,
They made one. They've already sold it, presumably to some bloke in Dubai.
I thought it was 16 million, actually.
No, I think it was
16, yeah. But anyway. So the effects of the cocaine and everything else he takes, because he's not just on cocaine.
No, of course not.
It starts to kick in. So he starts blinking a bit. Gets in his very expensive car, puts it into reverse, but then completely loses it and roars out of his glass box through the front window of the glass box opposite and smashes up another very expensive car, then falls out the car, is violently sick, then staggers up and tries to get back to his apartment. But
sounds bloody awful, this thing.
Yeah,
is it really crap?
Yeah, starts urinating all over the place, right, you know.
Jesus.
And then is found trapped in the lift door by somebody, you know, and is rushed to hospital. And the last scene you see is Richard Gere in the hospital with Helen McCrory, because they're separated. Mm. That's mother, father and son.
Yeah.
He's got a pipe in his mouth. And Richard Gere, you know, classic words like, he'll pull through. And Helen McCrory says, how do we know? Because he's a fighter. He's been a fighter all his life. The first time I saw him, he had your cord wrapped round his throat. He was blue in the face and he was dying. But he came through that. And she says, remarkably, you never told me that. And then they have this ridiculous conversation, which she says, I had an angle of the birth that you didn't have.
He's such a bad actor.
Oh, awful.
Does he do that thing where he looks down? Because he only has two manoeuvres, right, Richard Gere.
Yeah.
He does the thing with his eyes, where he kind of blinks his eyes and looks down.
Yeah,
and just looks kind of sad.
Yeah,
and that's about it. That's the kind of extent of his range.
There was a lot of that, but believe me, absolutely
sounds
crap.
Like a complete cobbler.
Now, I'm not going to give you too much about the second. The second got a bit better, a bit more realistic. Sort of got into its stride a bit. But the problem is, because you and I have worked in that industry all our lives, we see how false the personalities and the characters are of the people working inside a newspaper building. They're nothing like that.
No.
And nobody's got any principles.
No, and also the way that they kind of try to portray journalists, they always just get it massively wrong.
Yeah.
massively wrong. It's absolutely ridiculous. Mm. Well, I won't bother watching that then.
Well, you can or you can't, but I'm not going to tell you about the second episode.
So have you seen anything that's any good, considering you've just told me about something that's pretty awful?
Yes, I have, yes, yes. Let me tell you, there's one called Traitors, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Traitors is... it's quite interesting, because although I'm a student of history, I didn't realise that after the Second World War, there was an election in which Churchill lost out, and... oh, what's his name he got in, didn't he?
Macmillan.
No. He was the first Labour Prime Minister, Clement Attlee. That's right, absolutely.
This is 1945. Well, 45. Churchill lost after the war,
yeah,
because all the soldiers came back, and apparently right. didn't like him.
No, didn't like
and
him.
And voted him out.
They wanted a land fit for heroes, and yeah. he was very hurt. However, 5 years later, when the economy was wrecked,
yeah.
they had to vote him back
they
in.
They brought him back in, yeah,
yeah. they did. But anyway, the point is, there was still a huge American presence in this country at the time.
Yeah.
And the Americans had already instituted something called the Marshall Plan
yes.
to really erect the Berlin Wall and keep the Russians
in Russia. Well, it was also to rebuild Europe, wasn't it?
It was to rebuild Europe as a mainstay against communism yeah. spreading across the world. So the Americans are very sensitive. So when the Clement Attlee government got in, there were a lot of very left-wing people inside it. Yeah. You know, all the Cambridge spies,
oh, yeah.
you know, all fucked off to Moscow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kim right. Philby,
Kim
and, all
Philby
that.
And all that.
And the country was littered with them.
Yeah.
So what the Americans did was they recruited British people to work at the British Foreign Office uh-huh. to spy on our government for the Americans.
Right.
Right?
So who did they hire?
A lot of young women.
Right.
A lot of young women who were bright as well, you yeah. know, came out of universities
as well as
and all
what?
That. As well as the men who were bright.
Oh, I see.
Women who were bright, you know. And again, episodes of mass shagging.
Really?
Even in 1945. Now, in 1945...
Well, I think in 1945 there was an awful lot of that going on. I told you yeah. about that movie I watched called Hurricane.
Right.
Did I tell you about this?
No, no.
It's a very good film. It's on Netflix currently.
Right.
And I downloaded it. I watched it on the plane.
Right.
And I flew over to LA.
Yeah.
And it's all about this Polish squadron of pilots.
Oh, yes, yes.
In the Second World War.
Yes.
And how they kind of got into the whole business of winning the Battle of Britain
right.
and all of that. Really, really good film.
Yes.
But there's quite a bit of shagging in that. And the woman who's the woman who pushes the you know the stuff.
Yes, that's right.
The,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, on the wall chart and all yeah. that. She actually says to one of the guys that she's shagging.
Yeah.
You know, if I did this during normal times, I'd be called a tart.
Yeah.
But now I'm just a good time girl because the war's on, and
that's
I don't
right.
know who's going to die.
Yeah. Well, it could have been that in 45. Anyway, all these girls start working at the Foreign Office and
yeah.
in the Cabinet Office and all this. And all these American guys are, you know, buying them silk...
Debriefing them.
Yeah, debriefing them. Silk stockings and all that. Mm. And I don't know, it's very graphic, you know, about the actual physicality of it
yes.
all, which is a bit worrying.
And where is this on, then?
Traitors.
Yeah. Is this on BBC? I mean, regular TV is what you're saying.
Oh, it's on regular TV, yeah. definitely, you know. And I tell you who's in it. Keighley Hawes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, she was the Prime Minister.
In Bodyguard,
yeah. But she looks much plainer in this. Mm. You know, she looks like an old frump who's in charge of all the girls at the Foreign Office or something like that, you know. Uh-huh. And nobody's shagging her because she's not made up to look good enough, to be honest. But a lot of the younger ones are, you know, getting endless away us, you know what I mean?
See.
Yeah, on,
yes.
a, on a big scale. Mm. Now, there's also a lot of these sort of mysterious Americans sloping around.
Yeah.
And a lot of people end up dead in Regent's Park Canal and falling downstairs inexplicably and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yes.
And it's a bit slow in the sense that you've got to gather the plot of what it's all about, you know. Mm. But there's a lot of Hooray Henrys involved, drinking champagne, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But actually, quite a lot of rubbish, so
yes.
I wouldn't bother.
I wouldn't bother either.
Now,
I can tell you about something I watched at the weekend.
Oh, yes?
Which is this new Ricky Gervais show. Which I don't know whether you've heard about.
What's it
it's
called?
On Netflix. It's called Afterlife.
Afterlife, yeah.
And he plays a guy that you would love it actually.
Yeah.
He's a bit like me, or possibly even you.
Mm.
He's basically just horrible to everyone because his wife's died of cancer, and so he doesn't think life's worth living anymore.
Right.
So he doesn't go around being nice to people.
Yes.
And basically being polite.
Yes.
He just basically tells them what he thinks.
Yeah.
And people get very embarrassed.
Right.
Because he just comes out with stuff.
Is it funny?
It is quite funny.
Is
but
it?
It's quite poignant as well.
Right, okay.
Because you feel pretty sorry for
And where
guy.
Was that? Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
I'll have to try and pick
and
that up,
And you can watch
yeah.
all of it, because it's like Netflix.
Oh, I see.
When they, you know, you don't have to watch it 1 week to next
That's right.
week to next week.
I watched Riviera
watch.
Like that.
Oh, did
when
you?
When Riviera was on, I watched 8 episodes on the, what do they call that now? Mass viewing
on
or something.
On the Sky, well, binge watching.
Binge watching, that's
yeah.
right, yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting, because I was going to come on to Alan Partridge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, our good mate Piers Morgan.
Yes.
And what's Alan Partridge's real name? Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan.
So Piers and Steve hate each other, right?
They don't get on, no.
They don't get on. Coogan, arch lefty. And...
Well, also, not only is he an arch lefty, but he's associated with Hugh Grant.
That's right.
That dreadful hacked off
organisation. That's right.
Who are basically trying to kill off newspapers.
Trying to kill off newspapers altogether and get rid of journalists.
Also
and,
backed by Max Mosley, I think.
That's right, Max Mosley. Hate the freedom of the press and all that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, Pierce certainly believes that Steve Coogan reinvented Alan Partridge, which hasn't been on our screens for 12 years, apparently.
Is that right?
No. Simply to mock and deride Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
And the way that show goes is, it's Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge with a woman who looks very much like
Susanna Reid,
and they appear to be... Not nearly as attractive, and they appear to be, and much younger than she should be, and they appear as a couple of buffoons, you know, presenters, making all sorts of terrible mistakes and just not being very bright and all that kind of stuff. And Piers wrote in his column immediately after the first episode, delighted to say that by the time the second episode came along, he'd lost 40% of his viewers.
I saw that.
It died. I saw the first one, and it was
apparently
dreadful.
It was really awful.
I read
a review of it in the Sunday Times, by Camilla Long, who said, effectively, that Piers Morgan's killed off Alan Partridge because Piers Morgan is more Alan Partridge now than Alan Partridge ever
was. Well, he's much more entertaining.
And the other one also is Richard Madeley. Because Richard Madeley famously kind of asks a lot of very weird questions. Do you remember, he comes in and does talk radio from time to time.
Yeah.
And he's quite an interesting character.
Yes.
Looks a lot younger than he is, right?
Yes, that's
right. Dresses a lot younger than he is. Has a sort of perma-tan.
That's right.
And smells beautiful all
the
time, right?
Yeah.
And he did a stint on This Morning, I think, when Piers was away.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And do you remember that awful woman who strips naked for Brexit? Ghastly woman. She can be identified because she has a rather large thatch.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which is not really for a sort of family.
No, it's not. No.
But she appeared on the show, right?
Yes.
And he wouldn't stop staring at her tits.
Really?
Madeley, yeah. He was just literally sitting there staring
at her. And did the viewer see the breasts exposed?
No, because they were somehow pixelated.
Yes, I see, right.
But
okay,
she was sitting in the studio naked.
Yes, yes.
And he was doing things like staring at them going, tell me, who did you get to write on them?
Yes.
And he's just looking at them, you know.
Yes, that's
right. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But very Partridge.
Yeah.
So, in effect, Partridge, has now got... I think he's got not the exact same writers that used to do it.
No.
And so it's just not as funny.
No, the guy who used to was Iannucci, the guy who wrote...
Armando
Iannucci.
He's the guy who did The Thick of It, isn't
exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And he was the original writer, but they haven't got him this time.
They probably can't afford him.
Probably can't afford him, and it's really nowhere near
also,
as good.
Also, Coogan, he's been given a lot of praise for his playing Stan Laurel, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, in the film. Yes, he has,
And a lot of people quite like him. But
that's dramatic, that's drama. Yeah. Here, he's trying to be funny again. It's just not funny, I'm afraid.
No.
He did one sketch in the first one about... how to keep your hands clean on a train by using the loo, but never using your hands.
Yeah.
Use your elbow and use your knee to put up the loo seat and all this kind of stuff. It was completely unfunny.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to anybody, you know what I mean? But
there's nothing worse than an unfunny comedian.
No, I totally agree. Now, the other one I want to tell you about, right, is, what was it? Shetland.
Oh, Shetland.
Now, Shetland
now,
is brilliant.
I've seen that.
It's
not
brilliant.
The new one, but I've seen old ones of it. I thought it was awful.
Oh, no, it's great. It's brilliant.
No,
it's brilliant.
It's not even in Shetland, is it?
It is.
Half the time it's being filmed somewhere else.
They have to keep going to
Shetland.
Glasgow to find the real villains who are this one's great because what they're doing is they're people trafficking, okay?
Are you sure this is the new one?
This is the new one, man. And what
they
do
is... much people trafficking to Shetland.
Yeah, they are.
There's hardly anybody there.
No, they're bringing them in from Scandinavia on fishing boats.
But you'd soon fucking spot them, wouldn't
you? No, this is the point, you see. This is the point.
Right.
This is the point.
Mm.
And then they ferry them down to Glasgow and they end up working in nail bars and all this kind of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And, but again, there's a lot of the old Roger Rooney going
on,
you know what I mean? Yeah, Rogerisation.
Is it still that one Scottish sort of detective?
Yes, that's right. Who's
quite
who walks very straight.
Clean
shaven, that's right, yeah.
He's got a daughter, hasn't he?
He's got a daughter, that's right, yeah. And this is all about people trafficking, you know, and it's not good.
No.
But the detective we're talking about, has now got his eye on one of his mate's wives.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's not good.
It's not good, you see.
Well, you've got some experience with that sort of behaviour.
No, I haven't, no.
Yeah, you have.
Not a mate of mine, no.
Well,
no.
The married women that you consulted with.
If they had unhappy liaisons and I could help them out, because they did come to me at times, you know, after work in the bar or something like that. Oh, I'm so unhappy and all that kind of stuff. So I did try to help out. There's no doubt about
it. How did that go?
Well,
do you think you made them happier or not?
Well, I think I helped restore some marriages without a shadow of a doubt, because I told them, look, I don't want you to leave your husband, you know, because then I might have to marry them myself or something like that.
You don't want that.
Is bad news. Mm. No, what I'm saying is, this is only hinted at in the first four or five episodes, but you can tell it's going to get worse, you know, because it is a friend of his and all that kind of stuff, you know.
But also, did his wife not die or something?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
So he's sort of a lonely figure.
Well, not only did his wife die, but his daughter is his stepdaughter from his wife, you see, because his wife had been married before.
Right.
So, in fact, he's a man in isolation.
They have a sort of curious relationship where she's a bit sort of flighty, isn't she?
Who?
The daughter, and they're always arguing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that sort of thing. But these people traffickers, to try and put the collywobbles up him, right, they go to Glasgow.
Are they all Eastern Europeans?
Well, the men on the ground are Eastern Europeans. Right. But the top guy is an evil property developer in Glasgow, okay? Yeah. He is, yeah,
evil
honestly.
Property developer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right.
And they take pictures of his daughter at her college in Glasgow, and then they send them to cop and say, you know, butt out, man, you know,
really?
And all this kind of stuff, yeah.
Good God.
He then flies to Glasgow, gets his daughter, brings her back, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Quite intimidating, but...
Have you ever seen one called Hinterland?
Hinterland, no, what's that?
That's a Welsh TV show.
Welsh?
Oh,
hello,
really,
boyo.
Really bad.
Yeah?
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Really?
And it's very kind of dark.
Yeah.
You know when you're watching something and you think, why is it so fucking dark?
Yes.
But every scene seems to be shot in the dark.
Yes.
And they're all kind of creeping about in some godforsaken part of Wales.
Right, okay.
Where hardly anything ever happened. It makes Shetland look like the streets of San Francisco.
Really? Yeah, no.
Because it's pretty slow, Shetland.
No,
right?
I haven't...
Hinterland is even worse.
I haven't seen that one.
All right.
Now, all this brings me to, you know, wanting almost to give a sermon here about the amount of sex we're suffering on television at the moment.
It does sound a bit over the top.
Because you've already alluded to it. I think it's becoming ridiculous.
I think it is.
I think it's becoming ridiculous.
I mean, I don't want to watch it, to be honest.
I don't want to watch it. I don't need lessons in sex from television shows.
What's the point?
I mean, you know, if you want to see sex, you presumably open your laptop and put some pornography on.
Yes.
Or something like that.
They're changing the rules on that, aren't they?
Are they? Why?
They're going to make it so that it's more difficult to look at unless you're an adult, because I think the problem is there's a lot of kids who are looking at it. So they're going to have some kind of safeguard.
Well, I've never
where you have to prove how old you are.
I've never looked at any pornography online because
really?
I'm frightened of being arrested. I don't know where you draw the line.
You don't know where you draw the line.
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, so you hit a few keys and what do you put in? Pornography, right? First, is that it?
Well, I wouldn't put pornography in.
What would you put in?
I don't know what I'd put in.
Well, that's what I mean. So okay, so pornography.
You put in whatever you want to look at.
All right, adult pornography.
Yeah.
Okay, so that comes up, but. But supposing,
no,
please don't. No, I don't want anything like that in the studio. What I'm saying is, I would be too frightened of suddenly somebody knocking on the door and saying, you know, that film you're watching last night, all that shagging in. I'd say, well, it was only men and women, you know, and it was only in like some hotel in Scandinavia or something. Ah, yes, but what you did?
You must have looked at porn in a hotel.
Never,
you used to stay in.
Never.
You must have done.
No.
Well, I checked into a hotel in Frankfurt once.
Yes.
Right? And it was quite a nice hotel.
Right.
I think it was either a Four Seasons or a Hilton or something.
Yes.
And I got into the room and I switched the TV on.
Yeah.
And the porn channel came on.
It was already on.
It was already on.
But you didn't move too fast to switch it off.
No.
No, you quite enjoyed it, did you?
Well, I don't mind watching porn once in a
while. Well, my God. You see, my problem is I have a reputation to defend.
What sort of reputation?
A reputation for being an all-round decent guy,
really?
You know?
Is that what your reputation is?
Yes, I do,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would go down the next morning,
Yeah.
And suddenly they'd say, we'll settle up your bill, sir. The bill comes out, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden they see that you've rented two pornography channels last night on the TV. Of course they do. Of course they do.
They give you a bill that doesn't say that on it.
Ah, no. They know what you've been watching, even if your bill doesn't say it.
Well, so what?
Well, I mean, you know, then there's this very attractive woman behind the counter looking at me thinking, look at that old perv, he was watching pornography last night.
Maybe not, maybe she's into it as well.
Well, you can't...
Could be a way of breaking the ice.
Well, I think that's a terrible way
there's
to look at it.
There's women that watch pornography.
Well, is that... I don't know.
It's not
a subject I feel comfortable with, therefore
right.
I've...
Well, we might talk about it. I've but never there's a funny involved. Story to tell you about that.
Yes?
There was a guy in fact, he was in Bosnia,
yes.
bizarrely, but he was in the army. Mm. He was an officer serving in Bosnia.
Yes.
And he had a situation at home... whereby his dog, which I think was a Labrador,
right,
had just given birth to a litter of puppies,
right,
and he was talking to his wife on the phone,
yes,
who was struggling with the dog,
yes,
the dog was not feeling very well,
mm-hmm.
and so he, rather stupidly, you might say, in retrospect, decided to look up on the internet what could be done to fix the problem with the dog,
right,
because it was something to do with the milk wasn't taking, it was something like
that.
So he put lactating bitches.
Right.
Into the search engine.
Yes.
To see if he could get some advice on what to do with his dog.
Yes.
And as you can imagine.
My God, that's terrible.
What he got.
That is terrible.
That is not what he got.
Oh, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this.
He was absolutely horrified and scarred
right,
for life.
Right.
On the basis of what he then saw.
I'd be scarred for life. Anyway, let's get back. This is supposed to be a TV review.
Well,
now, the
is.
Last programme I'm going to tell you about.
We haven't got any time, though, have we?
Yeah, you've just got a couple of minutes. All right. The last programme I want to tell you about is one called Cheat.
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 Well, there's another one where you can resonate
well,
with.
It's four episodes, seen the first two, okay. Mm. And do you know what it's about?
About cheating.
Yeah, but in a university exams.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Right.
Because it just shows you that teachers, right, are not just there to teach.
Right.
They want to be star teachers, so all their pupils have got to get through.
Oh, yeah.
So in much the same way as you get a corrupt copper
who
will somehow... inflate his figures, you see what I mean?
What, his arrest figures?
His arrest figures and conviction figures.
Yeah.
And even, you know, plant a bit of dope on somebody and get him banged up, you
it's
know what I mean?
You would do if you were a cop.
No, I wouldn't, no,
yeah,
no.
You would.
No, no.
Of course you would.
I still watch Jack Reagan on The Sweeney all the time. It's a brilliant programme, you know, you should watch it. But so these teachers, they're so competitive, they break back into their own schools and their own rooms at night, you know, get into the files and then... they rewrite some of their students' essays.
Really?
They leave notes for tomorrow's exams under the desk, you know, stuck under
presumably
the desk.
These are for exams that they can't mark.
That's
so
right.
Being marked by somebody else.
That's right, absolutely, because you have an examination board and the teachers at these individual schools, these top schools, have to follow the syllabus and teach them. But the teachers are breaking back in and rewriting the essays.
That's shocking.
Or They're quizzing their students after the exam.
Well, what's in it for them?
They then become super teachers because they get 98% pass in their class.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Can they get more money for that then?
Well, not necessarily money, but their reputation within the industry grows and they get better jobs and all that kind of stuff, you know. And some of them will even break in to where the essays have been stored after the exams, you know, because they're done in the schools and then sent back to the examination board. Look at the answers, see they're not right, and then contact their pupils and say, write it again, because they've pilfered some of the same sort of writing paper that you write on during the exam. And the student will spend the night writing the exam again, writing the answer. The teacher will then break back in and replace that and take out the original.
Shocking.
Very competitive. Mm. But so far... Yeah. It's a great programme because there's no Rogerisation.
Well, it's bound to be.
It's, the only, it's bound to come, I suppose. You know, there could be a head teacher and another teacher. A lot of that goes on at schools, you know.
There is a lot of that, yeah.
In fact, I think...
Well, in any workplace where you spend time with people, you know, there is infidelity.
Don't you think that in a girls' school, it should only be female teachers? Not because I have any sex discrimination, but men of a certain age to middle age are unable to... control their sexual urges and feelings for teenage girls who...
Well, if they're not into girls?
Who look... teenage boys, then.
No, I mean, if they're in a girls' school, but they're not into girls, then that would be right, wouldn't it?
Well, you're not going to interview somebody and say, excuse me, are you heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual,
well,
are you?
Know.
No, you're not, no.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, a lot of girls in the sixth form would look probably 5 years older than they do.
Yeah.
And I just think that some men are so weak that putting temptation in their way is not a good thing. I would ban it.
Right.
I would ban it,
frankly.
Well,
there's not that many skills now that are girls only anyway.
There are still some great ones, like Benenden.
They're not many,
which is near Brighton, you know.
Isn't that
which
private?
Is, Oh, massively private. That's it's about 32 grand a year or something. Yeah,
like Cheltenham Ladies College.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I think they can look after themselves.
Yeah, but anyway, it's not a subject...
Who's to say that there might not be a woman teacher that's,
Well, it's not a subject I want to get into. I'm just saying that, you know, if we want to protect the moral fibre and moral standards of our country...
You're not the person to do it.
I am the person to do it. I have very strict moral standards. And I believe where I lead, others should follow.
We're the two mics.
Then the most graphic sex scene ever, and it's quite a strange one, although...
BBC,
there you go, so I told
BBC
you.
BBC
2. BBC 2, that's right, yeah. So it's not ITV, apologies to ITV, it's on BBC 2.
Well,
okay.
We've got that one right.
Yeah, we've got that one right, yeah. Now, what happens then is they have this very graphic sex scene, but I can't quite work out the physiology of it, because he's lying on the bed on his back.
Are you sure you want to get into this?
Well, not really, but I just want to explain.
Some people saying you've been a bit obsessed with sex.
No, no, I'm not at all.
Particularly the positioning.
No. So he's lying on his back on the bed.
Right.
She's lying on her back on top of him.
On her back.
On her back.
Yeah.
But she is bouncing up and down very enthusiastically.
Okay.
Well, some activity is taking place between his anatomy and a part of hers.
Well, it's called having sex. Well,
yeah, but I'm not sure how angle-wise it can be done. Really? You know what I mean? I'm not sure.
Do you remember that awful woman who strips naked for Brexit? Ghastly woman. She can be identified because she has a rather large thatch.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which is not really, really for a sort of family.
No, it's not. No.
But she appeared on the show, right?
Yes.
And he wouldn't stop staring at her tits.
Really?
Vaguely, yeah. He was just literally sitting there staring
at her. And did the viewer see the breasts exposed?
No, because they were somehow pixelated.
Yes, I see, right.
And she was sitting in the studio naked.
Yes, yes.
And he was doing things like staring at them, going, so, tell me, who did you get to write on them?
Yes.
And it's just looking at them, you know?
Yes, that's
it's
right.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Very Partridge.
So, pornography.
You put in whatever you want to look at.
All right. Adult pornography.
Yeah.
Okay. So that comes up. But, supposing.
Try and see what you get.
No, please don't. I don't want anything like that in the studio.